Back to our study of 1 John this morning, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, 1 John. We spent about, 3-4 weeks, and we're on verse 5 of chapter 1. So we're taking our time. But there's just so much here, and so much that John really drives into us in 1 John that is so important. He spent the first five verses, telling us that he has seen and can still see in his mind's eye. He has heard and can still hear ringing in his ears everything Jesus said and did. He experienced Jesus. I've said a couple of times, he knows how Jesus smells. He experienced Jesus. And he's telling us that. He's showing us that Jesus came as God manifest as man. That's who Jesus is. And he's spent some time telling us that in the first part of chapter 1. And we need to remember that many scholars say that 1 John is written to the Gnostics, to those who believed. The Gnostics believed that the spirit and the flesh were so different that in fact the spirit was good and the flesh was evil. And so they believed that Jesus came, but that he couldn't have been actual flesh because flesh is evil, so that would never have worked. So God himself can't inhabit evil like flesh. And they take this all the way to the point where they say that it doesn't matter what you do with the body, the flesh doesn't matter, only the spirit matters. Now we can see the fallacy of that, right? We can see that it actually does matter what we do in our flesh because we are fully formed. We are a soul, a full human. And so what we do in the flesh affects our spirit. What we do in the spirit affects our flesh. We understand that, but that's the Gnostic idea, was that they're so separate that whatever you did in the flesh didn't matter, only what happens with the spirit matters. So you could sin as much as you want because in the flesh, nothing matters. And we actually kind of have an offshoot of that in our culture today. And that is the idea, you'll hear the idea, we have been forgiven of our sins, so it doesn't matter how many sins we commit now, right? We can just do whatever we want because we've been forgiven. This is a Gnostic idea of the flesh and the spirit being so separate. And it's just not biblical. So John has been addressing this topic, that Jesus came fully in the flesh, and today he's going to pick up and tell us that what we do matters, that we should live as we say we believe, that we can't separate Christianity and Christian behavior. Those two go together, and he's going to tell us that this morning. Now, there's a few places in 1 John where it seems it's controversial. And I say that because he seems to say that true Christians cannot sin. Now, we know that to be experientially not true. I think all of us have to admit that as Christian as we may be, we still have sin. We still do sin. And so when we're going to look at one of those places where it seems like John is telling us Christians cannot sin, and we're going to look at how the grammar of the Greek actually changes our idea of that. So let's read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It will be up here behind me. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So he starts out talking about darkness and light. And he compares the two, and this is fairly, this happens a lot in Scripture. We see light and darkness compared, and light being good and dark being evil, and they're opposed to each other. And this is really a metaphor that we can understand well, because what happens to dark when you turn on the light? It's immediately dispelled. So we can understand this metaphor. We can see it. And we understand, even in our culture, light and dark meaning good and evil. We can see that. So this is understandable to us. It's a metaphor that's understandable. But John isn't using it strictly as a metaphor. He is saying God is light. Now, I want to point out something. He doesn't say God has light. He doesn't even say God is the light. He says God is light, like God is holy, like God is righteous, like God is merciful, like God is gracious. It's a part of his character. It's a perfection of God. God is light. Now, why is that important? If we say even God is the light, we're focusing that on us, aren't we? We're saying what God is to us. He's the light for us. John isn't telling us who God is to us. He's telling us who God is. And God is light. So as part of his nature, as part of his character, as one of his many perfections, is absolute light. And we get kind of this idea that this is the kind of light that burns darkness away. When we think of God is light, then we can understand that we can't have darkness and light in the same place. We can't have darkness and light happening at the same time. God's light is so intense, so pure, that it burns away darkness. So that's the idea of the light here. Now, throughout the Old Testament, light is shown as in an intellectual way, a moral way, and also in the sense of who God is. So in saying God is light, he is saying that God is light like truth in an intellectual sense. He is light like purity in a moral sense. He is absolute in light. And so John tells us there's no darkness in him at all. Not any. Now, he uses two negatives at the end of this sentence. Now, in English, a double negative means a positive, right? Because if we say, I'm not happy, then it means I'm happy. In Greek, two negatives really emphasize the negative. They don't turn to a positive. They really emphasize the negatives. So a more literal translation of this would say, in this message which we have heard from him and can still hear ringing in our ears, that perfect tense. And we are bringing back to you that God, as to his nature, is light, and darkness in him does not exist. No, not at all. So now you can understand how bright this light is, as John is describing it. How bright God's light is. How intense it is. And you can understand how we can't have fellowship with the darkness and the light at the same time. Now, the word for fellowship he uses is that, once again, koinonia. You've heard it before. This close unity, this partnership, this common bond. We can't have a common bond, a close unity, a partnership with light and still be in the dark, can we? It just defies common sense. We can't be still in darkness if we're in fellowship with the light. And so that has been understood by some as that means Christians cannot sin. Because if we're a true Christian and we're truly in the light, then we can't have any darkness in us, right? But that's not what John is saying. As a matter of fact, we see it better when we look at the grammar of the Greek. We see it because he's using the present active in this portion. He is saying, as it says here, if we are saying that we're If we say that we are having present active fellowship with him and are continuing present active to live and behave in the sphere of darkness, we are lying present active and not living and behaving both present active in the truth. So he's saying this is as a pattern of belief, as a pattern of life, we cannot be living in the darkness and claim fellowship with the light. It's not possible. Those two cannot be together. And so what we get really from John is this picture of God's light being so magnificent, so pure, so true, that it burns away the darkness. And so what John is saying is not that a Christian can't sin. What he's saying is that a Christian is one who the light comes in and it illuminates the darkness and burns it away. So this is an ongoing process for us. It's an ongoing process of living in the light. We are living in the light so that when the light exposes darkness in us, it can burn it away. It can take it away. And he actually expounds upon that in verse 7. In verse 7 he says, "But if we continue to live and behave in the sphere of light, as God himself is light, we have fellowship, we are having fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, keeps continually cleansing us from every sin." Do you hear those beautiful present active words? Continually cleansing us from every sin. Now, what does every mean? The Greek word literally means in total, with an emphasis on the individual parts. So it's each and every and all sin. So what sin in your life is covered by the blood of Christ? Each and every and all sin. It's a beautiful thing. These present actives show us this is just this process that we are in. Christianity is not about really arriving. We know where we're going, but we arrive when we get there. Because until then, we're in process. Until then, God's working on us. Until then, there's still darkness in us that gets burned away day by day by day. So we have this, we have to stay in fellowship with the light, or we stay in fellowship with the darkness. We don't get to do both. So what does fellowship with the darkness look like? Well, think about the first thing it does is it breaks fellowship, right? The first thing that darkness does is break fellowship. What did Adam and Eve do? They used to walk with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. And then they sin. And then what do? Hide. Right? They hide. Like you can hide from God, right? But they hide. We still do the same thing. We have a sin that bothers us, that keeps us going. We commit it. And then we hide from God. We break fellowship with the light because of this darkness. And then what do we see with Jonah? God comes to Jonah and says, I want you to go to Nineveh. So what does Jonah say? Nah. Nah. And so he goes to Joppa. Well, Joppa is a Gentile town. So the first thing that Jonah does when he wants to hide from God is he runs away from the people of God. We do the same thing. If we are trying to hide from God, then we don't want to be around God's people. We start breaking fellowship with church because we don't want to be around the light when we're hanging on to darkness, right? It just makes sense. It just we can understand it in this metaphor of dark and light. We must stay in the fellowship with the light, God himself, and fellowship with the people of God, the light of God. That fellowship helps us to break the bonds of the darkness. We're no longer a slave to darkness. We no longer are bound to darkness once we've come to the light. Once we come to the light, we now can enlighten our lives, and we can have the darkness in us that's still in some areas of all of our lives. We can let the light burn that out. We can let the light remove it from us. Do you see the process that John gives us here? He gives us who Jesus is. Come to him and let this light burn the darkness out of you. That's the process that he gives us. And that's the choice that he gives us. Are you in the light or are you in the darkness? Because you can't be both. If you're in the light, there is going to still be darkness in you. There will be. But let the light of Christ burn it away. Let the light of God burn it away. But if you're choosing fellowship with the darkness, you are choosing against fellowship with the light. So John dispels this Gnostic belief that it doesn't matter what you do. Christian behavior cannot be separated from Christian belief. We live as we believe. We usually... It's been my experience that we live as we actually believe. And if there's a difference between what we how we actually believe and what we say we believe, there's some darkness right there. There's some darkness that needs burned away. We should live in the light. We should live as we say we believe. Because each and every and all sin is burned away by the blood of Christ. So here's the good news. Being that God is light, not that he just has light, but that he is light, that light is available to you every day, every hour, every minute, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you've done. It's available to you. Right now. The light is available to you right now. Come to the light. Be forgiven. Be enlightened. Let this process begin. John doesn't say that Christians cannot sin. What he says is that Christians are in this process of the light burning away the darkness in us. Christians allow that process to happen. Christians look forward to that process happening. That's what John is telling us. He doesn't say that Christians can't sin. He says Christians can't stay in sin. Come to the light. Let the light burn the darkness out of you. Because as he's told us, the blood of Christ covers each and every and all sin. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Are you in fellowship with the light? Because we have in Christ fellowship with God himself, fellowship with the source of light. Are you in this process? Or have you chosen darkness? Make a choice this morning. Make a choice this morning to be in the light as he himself is in the light. It's a simple prayer. You can just follow along in your own words. Say, God, I understand that I'm living in the darkness, not in the light. That I have sin in my life. I've done things wrong. I've said things wrong. I've thought things wrong. And I know the Bible calls that sin. But I trust that Jesus died on that cross to save me. That his blood covers each and every and all of my sin. So I ask you to forgive me because of his finished work on the cross. And I ask you to help me to live in the light. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor. Let them know. Maybe this morning you realize that there's some darkness in you that needs burned up. Will you let the light in? Take this moment. Father, there is darkness in each of us. Areas of our lives that we have not surrendered to you. Areas of our lives where we still want to be in charge. Forgive us. Let the light burn this away and burn this out of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.